Mike Herndon is ready as anybody for the start of the season. Writer for AL.com, the Alabama Media Group, Mobile Press Register. Mike, thanks for the time as always. You guys have been working very hard to help us quench the football appetite over the course of the last couple of months. Really, you do it all year long, but especially in the last 5 or 6 weeks, that top 25 countdown of the best football players in the SEC, and I'm going to guess you are pretty pleased to finally be at number one on that list as well.
Yeah, you know, the hard work was actually deciding who was going to be on it, and then once we started counting down, that's kind of the fun part, to release it and talk about it and all that good stuff. But as you well know, in this conference, you know, splitting hairs to get to 25 is quite a chore.
It is, and we'll get there with it. But talk about, again, the way you went about it. I know it wasn't just a one-person deal. You've got the story today on number 25, but it was done by a committee, was it not?
Yeah, we certainly took input from our beat writers on both sides of the state, and Randy Kinney down here at Mobile and I kicked it over and came up with a list. And, you know, as I've been telling people all week, there's a lot of really good football players that aren't on it. To get it down to 25 is, you know, quite a chore. And there's a couple of guys I can think of that were on some preseason All-American lists that weren't on our 25. But yes, we took a lot of input from a lot of different sources.
All right. Again, kind of quickly, I'm going to run through for folks. You got Bo Wallace, Leonard Fournette, Alex Kozan, Marcus Golden, Derrick Henry, and Trey Flowers at number 20 back through 25. I guess the most intriguing name of those would be Fournette, because he hasn't taken a snap in the best league in college football, so some people may look at it as being a little premature to put him in the top 25, and yet, Mike, there are also many that I'm sure were saying, hey, this guy is so good, you've got him ranked way too low.
Yeah, and either could be correct. Certainly when you do a list like this in the summer, I mean, this is a projection of what we think they'll be this fall. So it's hard to do that with a freshman with any amount of certainty. But this guy, you know, from the film that you watch and everything that people say and what was said at media days, they're confident he's going to get the rock at LSU, and that he's the type of back that is going to make the most of it. I mean, you hear the comparisons to Adrian Peterson. Be 225 and run with sprinter speed like he does. I think he's an uncommon talent, and I think we'll certainly get a chance to see him get his share of carries this fall.
There's, as I said, Derrick Henry at number 21. He's listed in your top, again, 21st best player in the SEC, and yet the number two guy on his depth chart on his own football team at that position. That's pretty good shape to be in.
That's the other intriguing one, is to have two backs off the same team on this list. But, you know, I think in the past, certainly 2 years ago with Lacey and Yeldon, I think you could have made the case then that both were, and but going back to Richardson and Ingram, you know, I think you can make the case that both of those guys were. The way they split their carries, I think we're going to see both of these guys tote the rock a lot this fall. And I think, you know, when you look at their impact, I think we're going to look back and say both of them deserve to be there.
Sammy Coates is 19th, and the Auburn wide receiver is tremendous, and you do wonder what kind of numbers he might be able to put up if he was working with a better passing quarterback. I know Nick Marshall was a tremendous talent and did things in their offense in a great way last year, but not a pure passer. How highly ranked would Coates be nationally in your mind, Mike, if he had a guy that was a better skilled passer?
Well, he's certainly got all the physical tools. And you look at his yards per catch, I mean, I think it's over 21, I mean, which is phenomenal. If he got more opportunities with the ball, I don't think there's any limit to, you know, to what he could do. And he's the one guy, when I got done with this list, when I looked back and I said, you know, I bet when the end of the year I'm going to look back and say he was too low. If Marshall's passing has improved, and you certainly would assume that it would be at least a little better after an offseason full of work, this could be a really big year for Sammy Coates.
Talking to Mike Herndon from AL.com, the Alabama Media Group, they have finally announced their number one player. They've been putting together this list of and announcing it throughout the course of the last month, the top 25 players in the Southeastern Conference, projected top 25 for the upcoming season. A'shaun Robinson, the Alabama defensive lineman at 15. T.J. Yeldon cracks the top 10 at number 9 for the Crimson Tide. Obviously key players if Alabama is once again going to be a contender in the SEC.
Certainly, and I think, you know, A'shaun, I think, has all the potential in the world, and has, you know, started showed us flashes last year of what he's capable of. And it was interesting to hear Coach Saban in the spring kind of, you know, from the podium when people were asking questions about this being the deepest defensive line they've had, and him taking a step back and saying they've still got a lot of work to do. And I kind of take that as him knowing what they're capable of, and particularly A'shaun, and wanting to get it out of him. But I think he could be a really special player.
Ahead of those guys, still two more for the Crimson Tide. We start at number 6, Landon Collins, the safety, who we all knew could be a tremendous ball player. But are you surprised that he has taken his game where he has to this point in his career?
No, not really. I mean, when you look at him coming out of high school and the type of talent he was in high school, I think he's right where I expected him to be. You know, the key for him this year is going to be assuming that leadership role with Clinton Dix Dawn and leading that secondary, which is going to have some young pieces in it, as you well know. So, you know, that to me is going to be a key for him this year. Physically, I think he's got all the tools, and I think we'll be watching him on Sundays one day.
Amari Cooper, third on this list, a guy that, you know, it's amazing that as soon after the departure of Julio Jones, which, granted, he's been in the league for a few years now, but still, I didn't think there was a chance you could have somebody that could be almost as big of an impact player. I know his skill set's a little different, Mike, but Amari Cooper, your thoughts on him and how he is shaping up going into what could be his last year at Alabama?
Well, certainly, I mean, kind of hard to imagine even having a receiver that you could mention in the same breath as Julio and what he was at Alabama and what he's been since then. But, you know, a little bit of a down year last year for Cooper. I'm not convinced he was fully healthy at the beginning of the year. He certainly seems to be now. You know, the big question here, and much like Coates, I mean, is what is his quarterback going to be able to do? How many times is he going to be able to get him the ball and get him the ball deep? Because to me, that's what he really does, is stretch the defense and give you that vertical element. You know, if Jake Coker is the guy, he's got a big arm. I mean, I certainly don't think they'll be slinging the rock like Texas Tech or anything, but I think they can pick their spots, and I think Cooper would be the guy to pick the spots, too, in the vertical passing game. You know, I think those numbers are going to be better than last year, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. I think he's going to be a special player. He already is, and you know, it's just a question how far he can take it.
AL.com's Mike Herndon joining us here on Tide 99.1. You got Nick Marshall at number 2. Was any thought given, and I don't know when this actually was completed, but did you give any consideration to adjusting that, the position of where he was, based on what happened a week or so ago with the citation he got?
Not really, because I don't think he's going to be out for very long. I mean, to me, at the most, he would miss the Arkansas game, and this list is projecting for the full season. You know, unless there was something else that came up and this became a recurring issue, then I'd have some serious questions. But, you know, it's really his first slip-up since he's been to Auburn that I'm aware of anyway. And I, you know, if he does what he's supposed to do and comes right back and gets back in the fold, and then he may not miss any time. I mean, we don't know yet what that punishment's going to be. But he's still the leader of that team, and he's a guy that, you know, came in and didn't have a spring before he started last year and put together a pretty incredible season for not having that spring under his belt, kind of opening up their playbook as they went. With him having a full offseason under his belt, having a new weapon in DeQuil Williams, I mean, I would think they'd be able to do a little more in that passing game this year. And to me, the key to him is not even necessarily his numbers, but he's such the focal point of that offense. With his ball fakes and the way he runs that read option, You know, in Atlanta, watching them against Missouri, it was pretty impressive. And the Missouri defense just couldn't find the ball, and that's because of him.
Number one on the list, not a shock that it's Georgia's Todd Gurley. 6'1", 232. The guy can move, and if he doesn't run by you, he just runs over you.
Yeah, he's a complete back. And certainly, you know, almost had 1,000 yards last year while missing three games with an ankle injury. If he stays healthy this year, could be on tap for a special year. I think with a new quarterback in Hudson Mason, I could certainly see them leaning on the running game early and maybe all the way through, depending on how Mason progresses. I think he's going to get the rock a lot, and I think he's that special type of back that's going to put together a big year. And you know, the NFL draft nowadays, you don't see running backs going in the first round. We've had one in the last 2 years. He's the type of talent, I think, that can break that string.
All right, as you were putting this together and the list comes out, anybody that you felt got voted way too high or anybody that didn't get in the top 25 you really felt like deserved to be there?
There were several that I think could have been on it, and we may look back and think should have been on it. Matty Mock at Missouri is certainly one. You know, I question the weapons he's got around him this year, but I think he showed flashes of the type of quarterback he can be. Certainly we've got a lot of other new quarterbacks coming in. Coker, if he wins the job, Hudson Mason, Dylan Thompson, any of those guys could have a great year, and you know, we can look back and say we missed on them. Robert Kendiche at Ole Miss and Chris Jones at Mississippi State are a couple of defensive linemen that are getting some preseason All-American looks. I think both of those guys are great players who could have been on this, and I think C.J. Johnson, the defensive end at Ole Miss, is coming off an injury, is another great player that, you know, isn't getting a lot of pub right now, but we may look back and at the end of the year and say, why wasn't he on it? And then Alabama, Trey DeFries was another one that clearly was right there. And, you know, we may look back and say we missed on him.
Mike, thanks so much for the time. Always great to talk to you, and enjoyed following this list being put together. And I know we're all more excited about seeing these guys in action. But thanks again for being on today.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.